Yes, so with this extreme self-discipline, Jesus is now testing himself. Can I go through this? Have you had periods in your life where you think, I'm going through this. Can I take it? Will my faith stand? I think probably we've all been there. And we begin to, as it were, fray a little bit at the edges. So let's have a look at the next slide, if we'd be so kind. I've picked out three areas here. One is serving God through faith, serving God in your community, serving God by setting a good example. And then I thought I'd better define that. So faith is being sure of what we know and certain of what we do not see. So that's faith. Got that one? Community is people with common interests living in a particular area. So we have a community here. We have a community in Framling and Saxon. Each village that you come from, there is community. And then good example is living in a way that helps other people. So here are these three areas that I thought I would look at in serving God. And we'll look at the next slide. So serving God through faith and community. This is parts one and two. So let's have a look. Faith. All things work together for good. Problems convert to opportunities. Opportunities convert to blessing. Blessing converts to worship. Now, I'll tell you a little story. I've told it many times before. But when we started Suffolk Heritage Housing Association, one day I was responsible for no houses. The next day, I was responsible for 5,273. I remember the number well. And would you believe there's 10,000 tenants behind that as well, because we've got a lot of joint tenancies. So there was a community of 10,000 people and 5,000 houses. Can you imagine what a walk in the park it was? At 9 o'clock, my phone rang and I'd been out to meetings talking to tenants, and the tenant came on, and I know he was slightly jokey. He says, "Is that you, Jonathan?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Look, that's 9 o'clock. You still ain't got my repair done." On the first day. And it was like a hurricane of problems, because we got new contractors, everything was different, new computer systems. Look at the problems we've had today with the computer system. Magnify that by 5,273 and 10,000 tenants. I got into this for a few days and I thought, I don't like this very much. So what do we do? When all my managers came in to see me, I'd say, from this day forward, we have no problems. Oh, how do you make that out then? I said, we have opportunities. We have opportunities to solve the problems. It's just such a small thing, but it changed the whole mindset. So people would come rushing into my office. Do you know what opportunity we've got today? The computer system has melted down. I said, how exciting. What are we going to do about it? And then, of course, they would come up with the solutions. So here we are. In a spiritual way, problems convert to opportunities. It's the mindset, isn't it? It's the mindset. Opportunities convert to blessing. And as we got through all these opportunities, I felt the blessing of it because I was less stressed. And then the blessings turn to worship, and you think, thank you, Lord. You brought me to this place, which I thought was a bad place for a moment, but now, yeah, it's working well. So that was just a little story to put in perspective what a problem is. It's just an opportunity to be solved. And then let's look at community. I say, start big by encouraging those who serve. We all think, oh, well, I can't really do much in the community. We all think, I'd like to do something massive. I'd like to build a community hall or something exciting like that. And you think, no, I can't do that. But I'm saying, start big by encouraging other people. Do you know that's how things happen, isn't it? If somebody encourages you to do something and they encourage somebody else, you've got a community hall. You've got all sorts of things happening. And you look at the Ukraine situation. Somebody is saying that they will take a Ukrainian family into their house. And it rolls on, and somebody will say, I will give some supplies. Transport companies, trucks are lining up with all sorts of things. Community, start big by encouraging those who serve. And I think one thing we can do is to start big by encouraging the government to offer a Christian compassion response to Ukrainian refugees. So there we can start big with government, and then we can work backwards to Stakstead. We should encourage our neighbours for their good to build them up. So here we are. We've moved on there, serving God through faith and community. Now we're going to look at an example. Right. Example. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We know that one, don't we? We've got that one. But here it is. We've made it quite clear there. And then in Corinthians, it says, follow my example, just as I follow the example of Christ. And I've given you three options there. Now, the number one is Lord Sugar. Anybody seen The Apprentice? Now, if it's lots of people enjoy it, I don't, because it seems if you pay people enough money, you can insult them. And I don't like that at all. And then you, it encourages those who are participants to stab each other in the back. I mean, I think it's a horrible way. And I think, how would the Lord Jesus run the apprentice scheme? Well, he did, and he had 12 of them. And you saw how he did it. This is not the Lord Sugar way of doing things, is it? So I'm going to say I reject Lord Sugar's way of doing it. It may make television, but it's not the example for us, is it? Now, I know you all want to be multimillionaires, but this is not the way forward. And then in the middle there, we've got dear old Boris. And I know what you say in the evenings. You think, I've got a problem here with truth and integrity. What would Boris do? Have a party. That's right, Ben. Have a party. Yeah, you wouldn't think, yes, Boris has got the measure of truth and integrity, have you? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there again, I bring Jesus in, the picture that I think is most likely to be. And it says, follow my example, just as I follow the example of Christ. The Apostle Paul said that. I didn't, because you mustn't follow my example, because you get led up a garden path, won't you? So now let's have a look at something else. The next slide. This is about trials. You know, we all go through trials. I mean, the always open door of faith. That's what I describe it as. And there are trials. And this door was opened by Jesus. And he was having his practice run with the 40 days and the 40 nights. But we know he opened it at the point of his crucifixion and his resurrection. And this is what James says. James has got a good way of saying things, really, hasn't he? Because he says, life is full of many kinds of trouble. He could be right, couldn't he? When your faith is tested, you learn to be patient. I tell you what, I've been coughing for 12 weeks and I couldn't sleep. And it began to test my patience. Fortunately, I had a meeting with steroids. And the end result will be good. The end result will be good. But the thing It's the patience in between, which is the pain, isn't it? You will be mature and complete, and you will be all that God wants you to be. As they say, simples. It's very clear, but it's actually going through that process. The 40 days and the 40 nights experience of Jesus is so common to us all, but in different ways. So that's trials. Now we're going to look at temptations. That's full of fun, isn't it? The always open door of temptation. Do you know, it used not to be the case, but now temptation is just a click of the mouse away. My computer is loaded with so many guard systems, so it prevents me from exercising my temptations. But it slows the whole thing up, but I think, well, it's best to have it that way. You can take all those guards off and say, I'm self-disciplined. I won't click on that image. Oh, yes, I will. No, I won't. That's how it goes. The ever open door. When is a door? Not a door. That's right, Phoebe knows the answer. It's when it's ajar. And the door to temptation is always ajar. Now, I'm going to describe temptation like it's a building, like this one. And you go into the foyer and you hear the music and you sing, don't stop me now, I'm having a good time. And there's no harm in it, is there? And then the door on the left says, come in for a drink. We call it social drinking. So let's go in here and, oh, it's ever so cheap. We'll have a few of those. You won't become an alcoholic because you'll control it. Temptation is there. The next door along is recreational drugs. I mean, recreation, that's fun, isn't it? Recreation, that's nice. So let's go in here and have a look and cast our eyes around. Look for the emergency exit. It says faith, the emergency exit, faith. It's going light, light, light. But then there's a lot of smoke. You can't see it. And the recreational drugs start to take over. Why did I open that door? I should have never opened it. The next door along is euphemistically called extramarital relations. Now, it'd be vulgar to say adultery, wouldn't it? No, it's extramarital. Nobody will know. You can have, my wife doesn't understand me. Oh, yes, have an extra. You've never moved down this corridor a little bit further. Now, the sad thing is, the last door, you think it says, hello, but it's spelt wrongly because it says, oh, hell. And that is the last door. We don't often talk about it, but that's the door that the Lord Jesus closed for those who believe in him. And Jesus said, I am Jesus that lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. You're all adults and you all know when you enter that room of temptation and you sing the song, I'm having a good time, don't stop me now. It's time to think and think, which door shall I open next? Or shall I go through the emergency exit of faith? We're almost at the end. And the last slide is to put things into context. Become as little children. Like little children, we often misinterpret the word of God. And here are some delightful misinterpretations. A three-year-old, our Father who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, she prayed, but deliver us from email. What a truth in that. You see, a misinterpretation of the word, but still there was truth in it. And why should we be quiet in church? Because a lot of people are sleeping, yes. Why do people in heaven have ever laughing life? There's truth in that, isn't there? Truth in that. Did you enjoy having a laughing life? And finally, this is for me. As the preacher's sermon dragged on and on, a little girl whispered, "Mummy, if we give him the money, will he let us go? May God bless you all. Here endeth the lesson."